give another clap for unto Jesus. So can we go to, we're talking about breaking the mold, breaking the mold. We're talking about the church, but specifically about you. You need to break the mold. You need to start doing things you have never done before. Yeah, you need to advance, to go further, to go deeper into the things of the Spirit. Can we go together to the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 17? It says, "And no one puts new wine into old wine skin. Otherwise, the skins burst, the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wine skin, and both are preserved." Praise the Lord. It is my prayer this evening that you become a new wine skin. You see, the Bible tells us that an old wine skin is, in our situation, is operating in the old system, trying to achieve more with the less we have. I think for the sake of those who are not at the, can we have that glass again on the tray, please, this time? The glass in a tray. Praise Jesus. You can just put it here. Praise the Lord. Can I have a bottle of water? Can you open for me, doctor? Praise the Lord. The Bible says you cannot put new wine into old wineskin. What's the problem with new wine? The problem with new wine is that new wine still has got a lot of life in it. In other words, the fermentation process has not taken its complete work in it. So if you take an old skin, you put new wine into it, it's going to expand and push it. But then the old wineskin is a skin that has been used, the skin that has stretched already and has lived or reached its limit. It has lived its life and reached its limit. Now, the scripture says to us, you need to be aware that a new wine skin is the most suitable one for a new wine, because when the new wine starts to push for more space, there is grace for it to push. Now, some of us have reached the place where we have an attitude of an old wine skin. You see, the attitude of an old wineskin is when you start to murmur and complain about things that you used to enjoy to do. We ask you, can you come for prayer? You say, I think we are going to church too much. I was in church I could feel the spirit of old wineskin on Saturday when I came for prayer. Because I could feel like everybody saying, are you not aware we are in a conference? I could feel that attitude. Are you not aware we are coming to conference? We've been coming on Thursday. We've been coming on Friday. We are going today. So just be understanding. It's an attitude of an old wineskin. The dragging body, the thing to say, what more can come out of it? It's an attitude of an old wineskin. The tiredness of doing a consolidation just to follow somebody up. I've done it so many times, I'm not going to do it again. I've done it so much, I'm not going to do it again. The attitude of an old wineskin, let others do it, but I'm not going to do it. Let others do it. Can you tell your neighbor, are you an old wineskin? Do you possess the spirit of an old wineskin? Yeah, the old wineskin doesn't want to do anything. Yeah, they just want, you see, modern skin, they just want to come and sit in the church and then you must do everything for them. Can you ask your neighbor, are you an old wineskin? Old wineskins don't survive. Old wineskin don't survive. Because when the new life comes in, you know, one of my greatest cries is my old members, the old members in the church, who when you give them a young leader who's vibrant, fiery, and all of that, they tell the young leader, I was here before you. Yeah, they are just like that. They will tell you, they wouldn't come for the evening meeting. No, they wouldn't come. When they come to church, they want to talk to you. You know, they call Pastor Mesh, they call it Mesh, Collins. They don't even call him Pastor Mesh. They say Collins. Old wineskin. Old what? Old what? Yeah, they'll say, hey, Edward. Tell your neighbor, if you don't want to change, you will die. If you don't transform, you will die. You'll perish. Yes. There are people who are thinking, somebody was saying, it's a very good genuine concern to say, people have led prayer. Let people lead prayer. They are new white skin. They are new white skin. When they lead, you can feel the excitement of life. I've led prayer. Can you give me some more? May I lead some more? Yeah, the old people, you give them the mic, they tell you, I'm tired, you should have given me 2 weeks. You know, there's somebody I can mic now, he will preach and finish. He's ready. Came ready and prepared. I'm asking somebody, can you ask your neighbor, what are you? You see, the attitude you carry tells us the spirit that is in you. Your ability to go further. Somebody was asking, and I said, you don't understand. We have to live at a certain level as a pastor to avoid going down. Because if you go down, to come up is not easy. I must be fueled flying. I must maintain a certain altitude consistently, regardless how you treat me. I say, I've got so many problems, but I'm not telling you. Yeah, they are coming, all of them. They need my attention, but I behave like, oh, fine, it's all right. We will go through it. And some things I've already even made up my mind. I'm not going to pay attention to them. They are not going to get my attention. Can you tell your neighbor, can you change your attitude, please? Tell your neighbor, it's out there. We can see your attitude. Now, the new wineskin attitude is an attitude that absorbs and takes every stretch that comes to it. The joy of childishness, the joy of going beyond yourself, the joy of doing more than what others have done, the joy of being able to be sent and do more, the ability to adapt. The new wineskin is able to adapt, is able to stretch itself beyond. Can you tell your neighbor, you must be a new wineskin? You see, as a cell leader, you have to make a decision. Change has come. I'm a shepherd now. I cannot live a life like I'm not a shepherd. You are a pastor now. You cannot live a life. I was laughing last year, December. I was saying today, I was not home. What do you think about my children? Huh? Christmas, New Year, I'm not there. No bride place. And you are telling me I'm going home. I want to go home. I've been in church. No. This is the life. Can you tell your neighbor, this is the life. This is never going to change. Yes. There are two things that are going to happen. You are either going to be broken or you are going to succeed. You see, when the attitude don't change, you are the one who gets hurt in the process. A new wineskin is adaptable. It's able to stretch. It's able to make space. Your heart must be able to make space. As we are talking today, the main issue here is that we are moving forward. Can you tell your neighbor, we are moving forward. And we are leaving no one behind. You like it or not, we are going to drag you through the mud. Tell your neighbor, we will drag you through the mud until you revive. We'll drag you. We will force you. We will make it happen. Amen? Now, don't forget the issue of the mold. The glass is already molded, isn't it? Now, what we saw is the truth. Can you put Psalm 23 there? I think most of us are happy when they say, I'm overflowing. Am I right? Can this glass contain more than this? Can this glass contain more than this? Let's try and fill it up. Let's fill it up. Let's see what's going to happen. Maybe it will expand. What do you think? Eh? Is it expanding? What's the problem? The problem is what? Is the glass. Psalm 23. We must change it. Can we go down to the right verse, please? My cup runneth over. Verse 4. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. No. It's not it. Yeah, thou preparest the table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with what? And what happens? So, according to the knowledge we have, what happens when the cup runs over? No, it's full. We agree, it's full. We can see it's full. But what happens? What overflows? Your increase is overflowing. But there is something that we never understood. There is a waste in the overflow. I captured for the sake of those who are bosses, because if I spoil the water on the carpet and whatever, after the service they'll tell me you could have used the tray. So you know, the reality of it is that there is some more water on the tray, isn't it? Are you aware that is when we came here yesterday to pray in the morning, that was the problem I had. That we have an overflow and we're having a loss. It's not a song to sing about. It's a song to cry about. When your container is full and overflowing, something is wrong. I don't know if you get it. Does it make sense? Yes, you might say, oh, my cup is overflowing. Your cup is too small. It cannot contain you for a week. So you can't be excited for the little. It's not possible. It doesn't make sense that you should be excited. My cup, how big is your cup? How big? How big is your cup? Because that is the question. How big is the capacity we have? Because our church is possibly 5, 6, 7, 8 times more than the number that is fully in here. There are other people who are not here. I'm asking somebody. But the cup is full. And so there is a distortion. Think about it. Let's say we have some more water. Not number two. Let's say we have some more water. Can you bring some more bottles, please? Can I have some more bottles of water? Yes. Yeah, bring them. Let's see. Is there anything we can do about this situation? Eh? Please help me. Is there anything we can do? No, we are overflowing. Let's be happy. Let's dance before the Lord. Eh? Eh? What happened? Have you increased? Is this more? Does this mean we're going to have more? Or should I pour some more leopard? That's what you are saying. And then the dust will grow. Oh, break the glass. Huh? Okay. What did you want me to do? That's overflow. You should be excited. I'm overflowing. Not everybody got the overflow, isn't it? Isn't it? But there isn't much you can do. Is there much you can do? There isn't much you can do. There isn't much you can do. Or asiglineli kipula batu. Eh? That is the anointing. That's power. And this water you didn't even buy. I mean, we have been seeing how water has been overflowing, isn't it? So my challenge to you is, it's good to shout, I'm overflowing. It's good. But is there wisdom in it? How much overflow do we have as a church? You know, Pastor Art showed an American soldiers carrying another injured soldier, preserving what they have. What they were doing? Preserving what they have. When they preserved what they had, they knew they could either restore and use again. But it didn't give an increase. It was just preserving. Even consolidation is the same way, isn't it? Now, my challenge to us, as we said, the only way is to do what? To break what? To break what? Oh, I see. You love the glass. So you want to contain the glass, isn't it? Isn't it? You like... Think about it. I want you every time in your cell to think about it. I want you every time in your campus, in the church where you are, to think about it. Are we in a mold? Are we in the mold? Are we in what? In the mold. The only way to break through is to make sure that we come out of that mold. To have something bigger, something better. Because when somebody's dancing, my cup is overflowing. The question is, how big is the cup? I mean, if I have the glass again here, most of us can swallow that glass one gulp. We can just open our mouth. The overflowing cup is... David didn't say my drum is overflowing. Did he say my drum is overflowing? No. A cup is a cup. It's a cup. There isn't much you can do with it. Can you tell you anybody, a cup is a cup. There isn't much you can do with it. Yes. So my challenge to us is that we have reached a place where we have to change how we do church. We have to change how we do church. We cannot continue in the same way. We cannot continue. Can we go together to the book of Isaiah chapter 54? Isaiah 54. It says, this is what the Lord says. That's 56. You know, I was thinking somebody smoking. Can you ask your neighbor, is it you? I mean, listen to this. It says, rejoice, barren one who did not give birth, burst into song and shout, you who have not been in labor. This person, possibly still a virgin. Never married. Eh? The barrenness here is not the barrenness of a married woman only. No. It says there, who did not give birth, burst into song, shout, you who have not begun labor, for the children of the forsaken one. The forsaken one. This woman is not barren. It's just that she doesn't have a husband. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Yes, it makes sense. It says, for the children of the forsaken one will be more than the children. Is it possible to have more children without a husband? It's madness. Ne? Tell your neighbor, this is madness. This is supernatural. Hallelujah. This is what? Supernatural. What is not possible with man is what? It's possible with God. It says, you know, the children of the desolate the forsaken one will be more than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Verse 2. Enlarge the side of your tent and let your tent curtains be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your ropes and drive your pegs deep. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Can you tell your neighbor, you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendant will dispossess nations and inhabit the desolate cities. Now you have to understand, when you break the mold, you come out of what is for me, it was a great blessing. I was thinking about it as I was sitting about Friday morning. And I said, last year we broke the mold slightly. We did the things that we haven't done before. We planted 5 churches last year. So we came out of the mold, isn't it? Is it an easy work? No, it's not. But I want you to see one part that you should take. Can you go back to that verse, please? I want you to see one part that I want you to see. It says, your descendant will dispossess nations and what? Inhabit. You don't understand. Inhabit what? Are you aware that there are cities that are desolate? Yes. There are cities that are desolate. These are inheritances that are being given to us. So when we break them, if as a cell leader you make the decision, I need to change my mind, I'm going to do cell more. I'm going to visit people more. I was not visiting anyone. I'm going to share more. As a church, we're not going out every Saturday to invite, to share the gospel. As a Christian, I was not doing my duty as a Christian, ministering to others. I'm going to take a personal responsibility. You'll break the mold. You come out of culture and tradition. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What verse were you giving us? Luke. I saw you were going to Luke. And he replied, what is impossible with man? Thank you very much. Yeah, we can go back there. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen. And he says here, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Verse 4. Do not be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Can you look at your neighbor and say, you will not be put to shame? Yes. When you spread yourself out, you see all the people who contain, the Bible says there is one who is generous and has more, and there is one who doesn't have, what he keeps, he loses. There is one who has, who gives, he's consistently giving, and he's got more, and there is a one who doesn't give. The most indebted people, they are not generous. The most indebted. Some of our most poor, they are the most generous. Because if they've got 2 slices of bread and somebody says, I'm hungry, they give the slice of bread. But if you come to the rich one and you say, hey, I need money, and he's got a good money in his wallet, he will say, hey, wait, wait, I don't have. Even 1 rand, they don't give. I had an uncle who, he told me, he used to run business. He told me, you don't give money out. Yes, he told me, you don't give money out. You must find out what is the person looking for. If he uses food as an excuse, because that's what he was saying. If he uses food as an excuse, give him boopy, give him sugar. But not money. Businessmen. Can you tell your neighbor? Businessmen. They want the money, but they don't want to give it. One person gives freely, gains more. Another withhold what is right, only to become poor. The more you don't share, the more you don't become part of the cell, the more you don't get involved in the breaking forth, you are going to be the one who's going to be poor. The reason why we sent all of our old leaders away is because we wanted them to not be hypocrites anymore. And Pharisees. You know, hypocrites and Pharisees. Hypocrites and Pharisees, they sit here, and as I'm preaching, Laban is saying, I could have said this. I could have said that. As I change and I say this, they say I knew he was going there, you know. So because we send the old members out, the new members are very happy. The church is nice. Am I not telling the truth? Am I not telling the truth, church? Am I not telling the truth? Since they've left, the church is nice, isn't it? Yeah, there are those, they have been nice, they are afraid to say amen. The example I'm using, that I've been using for the past 20 years, they don't say, I know where he's going. You see, while I'm studying my example, Lapan is going like this to the wife. Say, hey, this thing is like a chappies without sugar. It's finished. But my new members are happy. So the hypocrites and the Pharisees, we send them far. We say, we want to change that they will not be hypocrites. Isn't it, Mapleland? Now they appreciate where they are. They realize it's more difficult than it looked. Am I talking to somebody? He says, do not be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Don't be humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. Can you tell your neighbor, you will not be disgraced when you break forth? You see, when you are raising children and you have a lot of children, people have a tendency to laugh at you. When they just have one child and you are inconvenienced, they are going to all the parties, all the weddings, everything, and you are struggling with your many children. I mean, I've got many children. Look at you. There are people who are laughing at me. Somebody was laughing many years ago before we bought this building. He came to our church. It was full. He says, wow, you have a nice church. And I say, thank you. Before I could finish, thank you, you know. He says, but these are children. What can you do with children? What can you do with children? And 6 months down the line, we bought this building with children. No serious. Pastor Mesh was still a student. When we bought the building, you were doing your articles. Were you a chartered accountant already? No. So there was no money. You know, at least the tithe here, Pastor Mesh, is chicken account here once in a while. But there was nothing. I'm not telling. Am I lying? No. We lived by faith and we continue to live by faith. Am I telling somebody? Tell your neighbor, take the limits off. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. There is one who withholds and has nothing. And there is one who gives generously and have everything. Selena, did the children send you pictures? I'll send you pictures. They sent me Matthews. Maybe I should send Matthews the pictures so that you see them. The more you send, I'm already talking to some children. This year we want to send 10 children overseas. Amen. For Bible school. Isn't it? Sarah Lapani, give Matthews to do something about this. Huh? I want a chance he will get it. Anna Okazo, Ghana. There is one who has, and he keeps everything, he's God, and he's poor. Can you ask your neighbor, what is it that you have? Time? There are people who have got time, but they'll never give it to us. Yeah, they'll never. They'll tell you, no, I'm a student. I don't go to sell, you know, I'm a student. I always say to the leaders, when you see people suddenly coming to join prominent department, you must find out, are they getting married or what? The church is being abused, isn't it? Isn't it? There is one who gives freely. Can we read it together? One, two, go. One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withhold what is right. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, you don't tithe, that's why you are poor. Tell your neighbor, that's why you are in debt. You don't tithe. Tell them, you are withholding, yet you are poor. The money you are trying to keep, you don't have. Yes. You see, when we break the limits off, we make the decision. You see, the Bible teaches us that the farmer takes the seed, his God, and what does he do? He sows it. We cannot become great. We cannot become all of us. God has a purpose and a plan for our life. The reason why we are here is to say to the Lord, break what? The limit of my life. May I be set free. May I be delivered from every power of darkness. Hallelujah. May I be set free to be more fruitful, to bring greater returns. Hallelujah. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Can we go there? Ecclesiastes chapter 11 from verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters and you'll find it after many days. Send your bread on the surface of the waters, for after many days you may find it. Let's go to King James. I like King James. You know, he's born again. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Put your bread out and you will find it. It's casting seed. Verse 2. Those who have seed, they cast it. They know. Pastor Basani was saying in the morning service, when you give your seed, you know harvest is coming. But those who withhold their seed, poverty is on its way. Those who don't want to lead, when time comes, they will not have anything. I like Isaiah 54 because it says, let the barren woman, this one that was taken as barren has got more children. Eh? The woman was busy nursing and whatever, the children, did you know that some children, when they grow up, they don't take care of their parents? As a parent, you have been struggling, working hard, doing all of these things, they grow and fly away. And you will be saying, oh, I've got my children, I did this for them. There are a lot of old people who are really going through a hard time. Can we go back to my verse, please? It's Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 2 says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Verse 1, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven. Give a portion to what? To seven. Give a portion to what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven is perfect number. It's divine. Give perfectly. But listen to this. 8 is a new beginning. It says, give a portion to seven and also to 8. Always look for new ways to sow. In the cell, be the one that is sown in the work of God. Let our cell grow. You know, Franz, you have a testimony. It's not that I don't see us, Esther, here, but she was giving me. Oh, she's there. She says, Franz is like this. It says, every time Franz brings somebody new, it's a testimony. It's a big testimony. Yes, it's a powerful testimony. Nobody spoke to us, Esther, to tell me. No, she was just excited about the diligence of France. Cast your bread upon the waters. Give your share to how many? To seven, and start afresh. Enter into a new beginning. Start afresh. As people say, a new beginning, fresh start. It comes as a result of what? Of giving to seven. And to a new beginning comes after you have given perfectly. So, Franz, basketball magala, one day, then you'll be telling them, no, I've been working for some time. I've been laboring. You see, some problems you have, they are busy going away. Even though to you they look impossible, you say, hey, my problems, they are difficult, things don't work. No. They are busy working. Yeah, the knots in your life are being untied. The knots in your life, the things that have blocked, they are being opened. You are receiving greater grace. And when I heard that testimony, I said, what a powerful testimony. That somebody has taken it upon themselves. If I get the chance, I must take somebody to church. Wow, what a testimony. Can we give a little offering to the Lord? It's breaking the limits. You're going beyond yourself. You have become general. It says, give a portion to seven, perfection, also to 8, new beginning, fresh start, For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The reason why we do sell is to have more children. He who has got more children, Miss Elena, to send your children, all that you have sent it, you have cast it upon the seas. Yeah, you have cast it. You are free. So nobody should be shocked tomorrow when you are living like a queen and being nursed. Have you seen the bee, the queen bee? Queen bee doesn't work, did you know? Queen bee stays in the nest. Queen bee gets worked on, get the sweetness. All the queen bee has soldiers that protects the nest. Queen bee has slaves that helps. The only thing that queen bee does is to lay eggs and multiply. That's it. I'm going to tell somebody. So you have just expanded yourself. Your fruit will be spoken of for generations to come. Yes. Why? Because you have been willing. It says, give your share to 7 or to 8, for you do not know when the evil day will come. You see, when you give everything, you have everything. Because when trouble comes, cannot destroy you. I've got many children. If you have only one child, and something happens to that child, and you have put all your things on that one child, let me tell you a very sad story. It's a sad story, but it's true. You know the person, Saul Kessner. Who remembers Saul Kessner? Saul Kessner owned the Sun International Hotels. When New South Africa came, Saul Kessner sold all his shares and left South Africa and went to the Americas. He built one of the biggest resorts in Bahamas. And one day, his only son was on a helicopter flying around in Bahamas, and it crashed and he died. Are you aware that Saul Kessner has come back to South Africa? And I said to myself, what a waste to live and then to come back. Now he's got to raise the children of his son. And I said, he's got the only hope. So this is my challenge to you, that your generosity will protect you. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. You know, it was a sad story. We were talking about it with my wife. We say, nothing should happen to anyone like this. You shouldn't put all that you have on your children, and then at the end of the day, the child dies. Now, you have no strong person. So, in the cell, when we say we are breaking the limit off, we are saying we are going to do much more than what we have done. We are going to multiply much more. Let's go to verse 3. Verse 3, please. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it will be. Praise the Lord. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Yeah. If every time you say, no, tomorrow, when the conditions are right, I'll do the thing. Guess what? It will never happen. Tomorrow is now. Can you tell your neighbor, tomorrow is now. Tomorrow is now. No procrastination. No postponement. Tomorrow is today. Praise the Lord. You have to make up your mind. My situation is horrible. I'm not going to wait. I'm starting now to change my circumstance. I'm starting now to break all the limits. If you have your glass, as we were told, break the glass. I take, then you are ready. Okay, let me show you the pictures. Do you see? Do you think they are suffering, Miss Elena? Eh? Do you think they are suffering? Look at the bright smiles. Moses has become a Ghanaian. Do you see it? The yellow bone long finished. Continue, please. Let's show some more. I'm trying to recruit. That's Bishop Peter, a new ordained bishop in the north, in Limpopo. This was happening yesterday in Ghana. Let's go back. I want to show you the older pictures. Yeah, let's go back again, please. Okay, if you don't know these people, the first two shorter people this side, the young man is Umpile, and that is the senior sister. They are both Barnabas and Saul. That's all she's got. All everything in one basket. Lord, I give to you. Hallelujah. Yes, let's put the pictures back, please. And then you have Moses, the husband to Reba. Then you have God. Umpile is like a Ghanaian perfect. Let's go back. I want to show you something. Let's go back. Again. Oh, you only took those up to the up to that. Okay, I wanted to show you the same hall. This is a great wall in their campus. If you look at the beauty of the wall, Moses was busy working something. I wanted to show you the picture of them. But are they suffering? Do they look like emaciated? Do they miss like they are missing home? Eh? Do you think if we were to say, please come home, they'll be happy, we are going home? Now, I'm looking for 10 people. If you have finished your degree, I'll be very happy to send you to Ghana. Or maybe to Nigeria. Or maybe to Bogota. We need to talk. I need how many people? 10 people. If you have done your degree, you are finished with your degree. You have your engineering. You are a doctor. You are a chartered accountant. Where's the mister? Oh, you're not sitting together already. I mean, you just married yesterday. I can still send you. It will be nice. What do you think? Huh? I mean, you don't have anything to lose. What do you have to lose? Nothing. You have just started waking. You just started getting married. Everything is new. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you tell your neighbor, break the limits off? Okay, let me round up. My time is up. The main issue here is we cannot move forward by doing things the same way. A lot of things have to change. Can you tell your neighbor, a lot of things have to change? You have to change your mind. You have to change the way you do things. You have to accept a new way of doing things. You must be a cell member. You must be a soul winner. You must be a consolidator. The carer of others. Can we stand, please? Can we be on our feet? We're going to pray. I want us to come before the Lord. Do you see Moses there? Eh? What are they doing? He's in Bible school but waking. Do you see it? Yeah, nice. Nice. Thank you. I really appreciate. I want us to pray that God will help us to break the limits. We haven't reached much, but since it's 7 o'clock, it is better we stop here. I'm just going to run through the story. There is a story in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. The Bible tells us that God commanded a widow to feed the prophet Elijah. And he says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow, a woman there, to sustain thee. So Elijah got up, went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow, a woman gathering wood. Elijah called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink. And as she went to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug just now. I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Can you tell your neighbor, don't be afraid? Go and do as you have said. Only make me a small loaf from it and bring it to me. Afterwards, you may make some for yourselves and for your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty. Can you tell your neighbor, the flour jar out of your generosity will not run dry, will not go empty. The oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sent the rain. Hallelujah. Until the day the Lord does what? Send the rain. May this be a true story upon your life. So she proceeded to do according to the word of the prophet. Now, this is the challenge that we have, that sometimes when the word is given, we don't follow the word. What I did is what Pastor Cesar said we should do. He says, go home and break the glass. We came here just to break that glass. That's the reason why we came. We broke the glass yesterday, but we broke our glass. The glass we broke was 3C. Now we broke ECC glass. Hallelujah. Can you tell your neighbor, there is no more limits upon your life? There is no more boundaries upon your life. You are free to do greater things, to show forth greater power, to do much more for God. This is a release. This is a great anointing. Worship team, can I help you? This is a great anointing. This is the power of God. That we will do more. No boundaries. A city without walls. A city without walls. A city without boundaries. A wealthy city. A powerful city. A powerful city. In the name of Jesus, I receive my portion. There is no limit upon my life. There are no boundaries upon my life. I receive the release upon my life to do more. I receive the anointing to excel, to abound even more. I receive the grace to consolidate. I receive the grace to consolidate. I receive the grace to do more in Jesus' name. Can we give a resounding clap of offering?